dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is the octave of Christmas and the solemnity of Mary, the Most Holy Mother of God. And it's also the World Day of Peace. As we remember the ancient blessing that God gave the Israelites from the first reading, we should be reminded of the incarnation. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron and his sons, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Clearly, that great blessing is made flesh through the incarnation of the Son of God, who by the divine will came into the world through Mary, his mother. And that way, the peace that the world cannot give begins to be among us. Pope Francis said in his homily in 2014 for this solemnity that Mary's sorrowing heart was enlarged to make room for all men and women, whether good or bad. She offers her maternal affection to each and every person, a source of hope and true joy. It's a very comforting truth. And so this Mother of God and Mother of our Savior Jesus Christ, who is our brother, is also our mother. As to the title, Mother of God, and the doctrine of the divine maternity, we Catholics profess our belief often many times a day in this truth when we pray the Hail Mary. In the second part of the prayer, which we just prayed, we say explicitly, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death." Pope Pius XII regarded Mary's divine motherhood as the principal reason for her many graces and privileges. And again, this is through the will of God that she became the Mother of God. Using the Greek word Theotokos, the Church affirms this from the beginning, but as dogma since the Council of Ephesus in the year 431, and reaffirms this down through the ages in a very emphatic way in Vatican II through the document Lumen Gentium, where the title Mother of God is used for Mary 13 times in chapter 8 of that document. The biblical foundation for this title is also very clear, although we don't find the word Theotokos mentioned explicitly. Certainly, the foundation for that truth is very clear. We hear in the Gospel of St. Luke, in the account of the Annunciation of the angel Gabriel, he says to her, "You are to conceive and bear a son, and you must name him Jesus. He will be called Son of the Most High. The power of the Most High will cover you with its shadow, and so the child will be called holy and will be called Son of God." Even in the way that the angel Gabriel greets Mary, there are many undertones or implications, references to the Old Testament, which affirm that she is the mother of the Messiah, the mother of the Son of God. The way he greets her with the word "Hail," In English, we translate it hail, but in the Greek, the word that's used there can also be translated as rejoice. And this refers to several instances in the Old Testament, in the prophets Zechariah and Zephaniah, for instance, where the prophets are calling God's people to rejoice over the coming of the great king, the Messiah. God had promised that a king would come, the Lord himself, to restore Israel, to restore the kingdom. And the prophets call the people to rejoice. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. And so the words of the angel Gabriel sent by God to announce to Mary carry this connotation, to rejoice because the Messiah is to be born. Also, the expression full of grace indicates that Mary is receiving a great grace, and the kind of grace that she will receive is the grace that brings about redemption and the work of salvation. Of course, this is something only God can accomplish. Also, in St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, that grace is referred to, the grace of salvation, his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. And so Gabriel, in speaking to Mary in that annunciation, indicates to her that she has this life of grace within her. And this is something essential to her, because in the way that he addresses her, full of grace, it's as though he's acknowledging her with that title, full of grace. He doesn't say, we say Hail Mary, full of grace, but in the scripture, it's Hail, full of grace. He doesn't name her Mary, he names her full of grace. And Pope St. John Paul II, said that this was something profound and essential about her soul, full of grace, which is also why, you know, she is the mother of God. Or rather, she's full of grace because she is the mother of God, and this is foreseen by God from the beginning of all time. Even in Galatians, St. Paul seems to acknowledge this, or he does acknowledge it. In Galatians 4:4, he writes, when the appointed time came, and this is what we heard in the second reading, God sent his son born of a woman. God sent his son born of a woman. Well, any man born of a woman is her son, and she is his mother. But to make it clear, he says elsewhere in Romans 9:5 that Jesus is the Son of God. So Mary is his mother, and this is what the church has taught from the beginning. It's the testimony of the apostles, clarified and made explicit at the Council of Ephesus in the 5th century as a correction to an error that was being spread by Nestorius. And the correction was to indicate that Jesus is both man and God, and Mary is the mother of him who took his flesh from her. He existed even before And in any case, God, when a person is conceived, a human person is conceived, the parents contribute the body, but God creates the soul. The parents aren't the ones who endow us with our soul. That comes from God. And so Mary, without even the help of Joseph or any man, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, conceived the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. And she has this unique relationship among all human creatures of the most intimate relationship with all three persons of the Holy Trinity. As I said, from all time, from beginning before time, when God conceived of the idea, the Word that would become incarnate, he conceived of Mary as the mother. She is the Immaculate Conception. And using our theological reasoning and some prayerful scriptural analysis, it's easy to see that she is indeed the mother of God, the daughter of the Father, and the spouse of the Holy Spirit, which makes her intimately part of the mystery of the hypostatic union. That's a fancy word for this union between God and man that's achieved in Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. He's the one who is both God and human and makes it possible for us then to be united with God. And that's the whole point of religion. Every religion, whether it's Christian or not, the point is to the attempt to create this bridge to unite man to God. But it's realized and truly accomplished in Jesus Christ, who chose to come into this world through Mary, his mother. And so the point of religion, true religion, also one of the hopes and one of the motives is this desire for peace that all men have everywhere. Man desires and yearns for peace, and it's through Mary that peace truly came into the world, the King of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so while he is the one mediator between man and God, she is the mediatrix that helps us get closer to Jesus. She who formed him in his humanity also will form us if we allow her to. And that is the great grace, this blessing that we heard of from the Old Testament, that we can receive the favor of God and be united with him. And it's most effectively accomplished when we go to Jesus through Mary. The whole point of the doctrine or the teaching on consecration. So this day, as we begin a new year and yearn for peace in our own lives, in our families, in our country, and throughout the world, the most effective thing we can do is seek God, seek to conform ourselves to his will, receive him in the most holy sacrament of the altar at Holy Communion. And all this, if we listen to the words of Mary and allow her into our heart to be our mother, she, as she instructs, do whatever he tells you, then we'll be more compliant with the will of God and we'll be instruments of his peace with her help. May all of us have this blessing in 2019 and for the rest of our lives. Praise be Jesus and Mary.